Tell me about all this. It's bourbonblog.com. I'm Tom Fisher. Good evening. I'm with my good friend, Dave Pickerel. He is the master distiller and also consultant. He's been that from the beginning for Whistle Pig Whiskey. How you doing tonight, Dave?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Tell us what's going on.
What's going on is you've got a couple minority shareholders that are foreign billionaires that are trying to find a way to blow Rajbakht out of control, take a family-owned farm business out of his hands so that they can sell it and take profits at a faster rate than they would have otherwise gotten it. Is a couple of wealthy billionaires trying to steal the company.
And, of course, we're talking about Wilco and Christopher. Wilco is with Barclays Bank, and also Christopher is he's a chief investment officer at Quadrant Capital. He is, from what I'm summarizing from the other articles I've read, there is some thought that maybe there is going to be some sort of attempt to steal it from Raj and then to sell it to a major player in alcohol. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. That's basically what the attempt is. That they can sell the company quickly, turn it around, and take profits on it very quickly, and that's what their intent is.
So have they actually gone on record saying this, or how do we
you've got the court documents, I'm sure. It's a multi-stage deal, and they won't tip their whole hand up front. They're at the stage now of trying to discredit Raj and get a judge to say that he's not capable of making decisions on behalf of the company and then allowing them to place their puppet in as the CEO of the company to make decisions. That's where we are right now.
From what we understand, Christopher at this Quadrant Capital, they also represent this really large family in Colombia called the Santo Domingo family, who owns a 14 or 15% share in SAB Miller.
SAB Miller. So they're basically, if you trace it back, it's a family that has a massive interest in big alcohol through SAB Miller.
Why are they saying Raj is not capable? I mean, first of all, you know Raj pretty well. Is he capable of running the company?
Here's the deal. You know, none of us are lily white and pure, and we all make mistakes from time to time. At the end of the day, whether you like Raj or not, whether you think he's done immature things or not, whether you think he's done inappropriate things or not, the real issue is he capable of leading this company in the past, present, and future? And all you have to do is look at the success of the company. For crying out loud, we started with nothing. We created not just an iconic brand, Whistle Pig. We created a whole category of whiskey and rye whiskey over 6 years old. Not only did we create it, but we dominated it. I think we're the first American whiskey that was created originally from whiskey that had been used as a blender in Canada. Now there are a lot of folks following suit. We were the first American whiskey finished in Sauternes barrels. We were the second rye whiskey finished in Madeira, and I believe we're the first successfully married old world finished whiskey in the world. And on top of that, I think we've made all of our year 7 goals by year 5. It's kind of hard to say that anybody, regardless of his personality, is incapable of leading a company when that's his track record.
I've never seen a company do anything like this and be as great a quality, as great a people. There's just nothing like it out there.
I appreciate it. And, you know, and I would echo your comments. I think we have an awesome team. You know, our management structure, our people have the passion to continue to grow this brand. You know, when I was at Makers early on, you know, everybody called it Makers Mark this, Makers Mark that, Makers Mark the other, and it was very formal. And
right.
Then people started calling it Red Wax and Mark and Makers, and it began to be informal. And that was a signal of when it really exploded in growth, is when it became informal and became people's friends. And the same thing has been happening to us. You know, you start out, it's Whistle Pig this, Whistle Pig that, Whistle Pig the other. And now people walk into a bar and they say, you've got the pig. And, you know, and or they're looking at our vintage product and they go, you got the boss. You know, and everybody knows what they're talking about when you say you got the boss or you got the pig. and it's becoming familiar, and it's becoming everybody's old friend. That's just an indicator of the acceleration that's still coming.
And what would you like to see happen to the brand in the next 5 years?
I'd like to see this all go away rather quickly and for Raj to wind up in control of the brand and for us to continue to grow and mature as a company.
And we look at what you guys are doing with Farm to Bottle. What's the importance of to consumers and to the whiskey industry for it to be fully Farm to Bottle?
Our aspiration from the very beginning was to be, you know, a Farm to Bottle or a grain to glass, however you want to say it, distillery. And it just took a long time to get there because of having to comply with a lot of special rules in Vermont. But it's always been our desire and our goal to get there. And here we are on the verge of being, you know, we're now distilling whiskey from grain that we grew on our farm and doing it as fast as we can make it. You know, and harvesting oak trees off our own farm to make barrels. And we're on the verge of being able to have a product that's triple terroir, and that's, you know, that's our grain, our water, and our wood. And we may be the first whiskey distillery in the world to be able to claim that. I'm not sure yet. I'm still researching, but certainly there's not many. You know, we're right on the precipice of that, and that's something we need to reach for and do.
With regard to what's happening now, where does it stand? The Wilco and Christopher have put forward this motion. Is Raj still in control? I mean, is it sort of, are we at limbo? Define for us where we're at, because I'm not even sure if I understand.
Well, honestly, I don't understand all the pleadings of law. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a lowly distiller trying to make a really good quality brand and sell it in the streets. I understand there's something called the status quo agreement, and they're basically trying to decide right now who it is that gets to make decisions about day-to-day operations of the distillery. That's all I really understand about it.
The complaints with regard to certain behavior, which may or may not have happened, it sounds like there's even some dispute as to some of the stuff is even true. Raj being pulled over back in April, but he was maybe taking some painkillers, and then there was never actually a DUI charge from what I read.
Yeah, ultimately he was charged with reckless operation. I think he was speeding on a back road. I don't remember, you know, if I'm remembering right. I think he had his foot to the pedal and was driving at an excessive speed on a dirt road. Yeah, you know, that's all I really know about it, is that I think he was charged with reckless operation. And at the end of the day, or, you know, I don't know what the original charge was, but what it wound up being is reckless operation.
And the only other part of the complaint that I really had an understanding on was they said that he had promised the company share to his wife before he married her. I mean, is this stuff really even that? Does this stuff really even qualify for a real complaint? That
they're stretching for, you know, whatever they can get their hands on. They will make all whatever assertions they need to. I mean, you know, an oversight. I'm sure that Raj, as soon as he realized that he had forgotten to notify people, I'm sure he filed all the proper information. You know, forgetting to do something and then taking care of it doesn't rise to the level of malfeasance.
I think it's that Wilco and Christopher have just this plan of really trying to hurt the company, or trying to, for their own gain, trying to sell it to Miller.
I don't think they're trying to sell it to Miller.
I think they're trying
to sell it to some other big spirit brand, but I don't really know who.
You don't know who, but you think they're trying to sell it to some other big brand. Has anybody, like, have you tried to talk to Wilco and Christopher and say, hey, you know, guys, what's happening here? Can we?
No, Wilco and I early on had some conversations. I really don't. I really haven't even seen Wilco in years, and I've never met Christopher. You know, I'm just a simple guy from you know, Dayton, Ohio, that's trying to make good whiskey and sell it.
You know? No, I understand. You know, you've worked with a lot of brands to help a lot of. How many craft brands have you worked with? If I may ask, to help.
I don't count. I think the number is somewhere between 80 and 100.
So you've worked with a lot of craft brands the last several years to help them get to a good place. It turns out Whistlepig has been very successful, but have you seen anything else with this kind of greed or any kind of situations like this in the world of whiskey?
You know, the closest thing I can think of was Falcone's and Chip Tate, but I don't think it was that similar. I just It's the closest thing I can think of.
But from your perspective and most everyone else involved, from what it sounds like, Dave, it just sounds like these two board members are really trying to do all they can to throw Raj off, to take him away from his own company, because, again, he is 50% owner. Is that right?
It's at least 50. I don't know, maybe a tad more. But, you know, it's important to notice it's not just his company. It's also his farm and his homestead. The distillery is on his farm. It is his farm. They're trying to not just steal his company. They're trying to steal his farm. And
because if they could remove him from the control of the board, they could potentially even take
they
him out of his
sell
own
it all. Yep.
That's a real. So this is something that should really be it's angering to me as in the business. As a whiskey educator and journalist, it's very frustrating to hear. But what should consumers be doing? What people who love Whistle Pig, what do you want to see them do? I mean, how can they stand up?
What consumers should do is just keep drinking Whistle Pig and telling everybody how much they love. You know, just keep on keeping on. Enjoy the brand. Drink what you want. I'll make more. You know, we just released our 15-year-old, and oh my goodness, you know, every place it's been released, it literally, it wasn't even a matter of selling out. It was just delivering the allocation, you know, and unbelievably successful launch of a new line. You know, we're going to keep our head down and just keep doing what we do. And we hope that our consumers will keep on keeping on as well. If they want to give us a little line of support here or there, that would be cool. It's just about two things. Do you like how it tastes? And are you okay with the price? And that should be the arbiter on everything that has to do with craft growth.
If you had to predict what would happen in this unfortunate situation, what would you predict is going to happen here? What do you think is going to happen next?
And I think we're going to continue to do what we do. We're going to continue to grow. And that what I would hope would happen is that this goes away very quickly and that that the case is dismissed on lack of merit and that Raj is allowed to retain his family farm and his business and that we just continue to grow.
How can craft brands find the right types of investors where they know that, hey, if you're the founder of a company, you're protected, but you're taking on new investors? What kind of lessons can be taken from that?
The biggie is just vet your investors really, really thoroughly and be really, really careful about taking on investment money. It's now apparent that having majority share isn't enough.
Sounds like, from what I have read, that the claims are rather erroneous, that they don't have a whole lot they're going on, but we do know, unfortunately, in the American court system, things can get tied up for quite a while. If you have the kind of money that potentially Wilco and Christopher have, do you see them really put, from what you know, do you see that they're really going to keep on pushing this just to give Raj and the brand a headache?
I suspect that they will push for all their worth. You know, they've opened the salvo, they've created enemies. I suspect they're going to go for the gusto and push it as hard as they can push. All I could say is that it doesn't appear to me that anything in the claims rises to a level that would say Raj is incapable of leading this company. And Raj is one of the best strategists I know, and when it comes to entrepreneurial thinking, the only person that I've worked with that the comparator is Bill Samuels. And while I would say Bill Samuels was more entrepreneurial, certainly Raj rises to that class.
And you have worked with a large number of folks in whiskey business, so that is a real compliment to Raj, being that type of strategist, that type of visionary. Do you think that Wilco and Christopher, could they end up doing damage to the brand if they push this too far? I mean, is there...
They have to be careful. There's a fine line between damaging and embarrassing and Raj and trashing his character and hurting the brand. They certainly have a fiscal and vested interest not to hurt the brand. They trash the brand and then they win, then the brand has no value left. They've won a Pyrrhic victory.
You know, we can only hope that everyone will come together and work out a solution. We know that may not happen. We don't know if you personally, Dave, will be talking with Christopher Wilco. I would imagine there is a chance that Wilco and Christian will be listening to this interview on bourbonblog.com. If they're listening, is there anything you'd like to say to them?
I wish they would be happy with the contractual agreement that they've got and allow us to do our thing.
But David, always is a pleasure to catch up with you, but we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us on bourbonblog.com tonight about this issue. It sounds like there's so much in store for Whistlepig. You guys just started recently distilling your own. You have the 15-year out. What else is coming up?
We may have a Boss Hog release this fall. You know, it won't be long before we start looking at releasing some of the spirit that was distilled from our grain. Well, we've got spirit in the warehouse that's 4 to 5 years old now that was distilled from our grain. So it's not inconceivable that something might even come out later this year. Some kind of a marriage that has, you know, what we've been talking about is the possibility of releasing a marriage that has, you know, a little bit of whiskey that came from our grain and a little bit of whiskey that is still our third party stuff. And then doing that each year in an increasingly larger proportion as we move closer and closer to our own product at 100%. And just we got a number of bottles of potential distillate on my desk in my hotel room tonight that I'm actually working on trying to see if we can't do that. But we're playing with it.
Well, we're going to continue to follow the story with regard to all Whistlepig is doing. Hopefully, we won't have to follow this story too much further on Bourbon Blog.